All right, strap in everyone, because today we are diving deep into the absolute whirlwind that is Trump's return to the presidency.
Buckle up is right.
We're going to tackle three main areas. We'll look at his super aggressive economic tactics, what some are calling Trumponomic warfare.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And we'll unpack his foreign policy moves, especially everything going on with Ukraine.
Definitely a lot to cover there.
And then finally, we'll try to make sense of this massive shakeup happening in the federal workforce under the DOGE initiative.
It's interesting, how these things that seem like totally separate issues are actually like all connected.
Right. And we're going to untangle it all.
We will, but first, can I just say, some of what we found getting ready for this deep dive is, well, pretty wild. Like, did you know Trump's demanding a public apology from Zelensky?
No way, really.
Yeah, and he wants to pardon Pete Rose.
But Pete Rose is,
Exactly.
wow. Okay. And then there's the RFK Jr. situation. You're
Oh.
heading up HHS.
And leading the charge against a measles outbreak in Texas.
Of all things,
Yeah.
given his, well, let's just say his history with vaccines.
It's a lot.
It is. But don't worry, we are going to cut through the noise and give you the essential insights on all of it, starting with, I think, the most pressing thing.
Yeah.
Trumponomic warfare.
Right off the bat, he slaps a 25% tariff on goods from Mexico and Canada, and a 20% tariff on goods from China.
Whoa, 25% across the board. That seems, that seems pretty aggressive.
It is.
What's the reasoning there?
Well, officially, it's all about curbing drug cartels and, the flow of fentanyl. But to be honest, the timing's kind of suspect. I mean, Trump's been back in office, what, like a month? How can he expect Mexico and Canada to just like solve this problem that's been going on for years?
It's like demanding a pardon for Pete Rose and expecting that to magically erase gambling from baseball, right? But okay, so what's the likely fallout from these tariffs, though? It can't be good for the U.S. economy.
It's definitely going to cause some pain. The Tax Foundation, they're a nonpartisan group that analyzes tax policies, right? They estimate that similar tariffs during Trump's first term actually shrank the U.S. economy.
Wow.
And we can't forget the uncertainty this creates in the markets.
Right, because we already saw the stock market dip when the news broke.
Exactly.
But what about the impact on, our relationships with Canada and Mexico? I mean, 25% is a huge deal. They can't just sit back and take that, can they?
Y'all, Canada's already hit back with their own tariffs. It's getting kind of heated, actually.
Really?
Doug Ford, the premier of Ontario, is even talking about cutting off electricity exports to the U.S.
Wow, cutting off electricity. That's, I mean,
Yeah. Now, whether he actually follows through is another story, but
right.
it just shows how tense things are getting.
Yeah, that's a pretty strong signal. What does that tell us about the broader Canadian perspectives on these tariffs?
They're not backing down. They see this as a direct attack on their economy, and they're willing to fight back, even if it hurts them too, in the short term. And it's not just about economics either. It's about pride, sovereignty,
Yeah. Okay, so it seems like Trump might have underestimated the potential backlash here
Yeah.
from, our closest trading partners.
Definitely.
But what does all this mean for, the average person listening? Should we be worried about higher prices or even, shortages of goods?
Well, it's hard to say for sure, but yeah, those are possibilities. If these tariffs stick around for a while, it's likely consumers are going to feel it. Higher prices on everything, cars, groceries, you name it.
Okay, so Trumponomic warfare has the potential to be pretty disruptive, both at home and abroad.
For sure.
Now, let's turn our attention to Ukraine. The situation there has taken a pretty dramatic turn.
Absolutely, yeah. Trump just suddenly froze all military aid to Ukraine, right in the middle of the conflict with Russia.
But legally, can't he just, pocket the money that Congress has already approved?
Technically, no, but delaying the aid has basically the same effect, right?
Especially with things being as dire as they are in Ukraine.
Exactly. And this is where it gets even weirder. Trump's not just holding back aid, he's refusing to move forward with this whole minerals deal.
Minerals deal, what's that about?
So, Ukraine has a lot of rare earth minerals, right? And those are essential for like high-tech manufacturing, green energy, all that.
Yeah.
The U.S. has been trying to secure access to these minerals, but now those negotiations are on hold.
So Ukraine is basically caught in the middle of this geopolitical tug of war.
Right.
What does Trump want from them to, release the aid and move forward with this minerals deal?
This is the crazy part. Our sources say Trump wants Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, to publicly apologize for something that happened during a meeting in the Oval Office.
A public apology. That seems, I don't know, strange. What could Zelensky have possibly done to warrant that?
The details are still fuzzy, but it seems like Zelensky maybe challenged Trump or contradicted him in front of other officials.
So it's more about Trump's ego than any real strategic interest.
That's what it looks like, yeah. And it's not just optics, you know. This has consequences. Holding Ukraine hostage like this, it weakens their defenses against Russia and risks a valuable economic partnership.
Not to mention what this does to our image on the world stage. What message does this send to other leaders, especially those dealing with pressure from Russia or China? Does it make the U.S. look like a reliable ally?
It's a good question. It definitely raises concerns about America's credibility. If we're seen as unreliable or ditching our allies for personal reasons, it could have lasting repercussions for our global standing.
This is some pretty heavy stuff. But before we get too lost in the doom and gloom, let's shift gears to something a little closer to home. DOGE.
All right, yeah.
Now, for those who haven't been following this closely, could you give us a quick rundown of what DOGE is all about?
Sure. DOGE, it stands for Downsizing Our Government Excess. Basically, it's Trump's big plan to shrink the federal workforce, like dramatically. It was a huge talking point during his campaign, and now he's putting it into action.
So downsizing the government, it sounds, you know, good on paper, right? Less bureaucracy, more efficiency, maybe even lower taxes.
Yeah.
But what's the reality? Like, how's DOGE actually playing out?
Well, that's where it gets tricky. The details are still coming out, but it involves everything from hiring freezes to, like, straight-up layoffs, even eliminating entire agencies.
Wow, that's a big undertaking. Who's in charge of all this? It must take a pretty strong personality to, you know, to tackle something like that.
You're telling me. The mastermind behind DOGE is, get this, Elon Musk.
Elon Musk.
Yep, he's been brought in as a special government employee.
I don't even know what that means.
Basically, it lets him sidestep certain regulations and operate with a lot of freedom.
So, Elon Musk, huh? He's definitely known for shaking things up, but can he apply that tech world, you know, whatever, to the complexities of government?
That's the big question, isn't it?
So it sounds like DOGE is creating a lot of buzz, but also some skepticism.
Definitely.
What's the public reaction been like so far?
Well, the early polls show some support, especially among folks who think the government's too big and wasteful.
Right.
But, you know, reading between the lines, our sources suggest that the support could fade fast.
How so?
Once people actually experience the consequences of these cuts, things could change.
What kind of consequences are we talking about? Like, give us some concrete examples.
Think about all the services the government provides. Social Security, Medicare, national parks, even food safety inspections. If these agencies are suddenly much smaller, you know, it could mean longer wait times, reduced benefits, even safety risks.
So it's not just about some abstract idea of, like, government waste.
No.
This is about real people's lives.
Exactly. And we're already seeing some pushback. Senator Roger Marshall, he's a Republican from Kansas, had a town hall meeting that was just like completely overrun with angry constituents. A lot of them were veterans, worried about potential cuts to the VA.
That's pretty telling. Even in a conservative district, people are worried about the potential impact of DOGE.
It suggests that the 51% approval rating, you know, it might be shakier than it looks. As more people start to feel the effects of these cuts, that support could disappear.
So DOGE is a gamble. It could streamline government, reduce waste, but there are significant risks involved. Now, before we move on, I'm curious about your take on the bigger implications of DOGE. What does this tell us about Trump's vision for government? Is it just about saving money, or is there something like ideologically at play here?
It's a great question, and I think it taps into this like age-old debate in American politics, the whole role of government in society.
Okay, let's dive into that a little further. Where do you see this fitting into the larger picture of what Trump's trying to do?
Well, I think it's safe to say Trump, he's never been a fan of big government. You know, he sees it as inefficient, all bureaucratic, and often a roadblock for private businesses.
So DOGE could be like an attempt to totally reshape the relationship between the government and, you know, the people it's supposed to serve.
Exactly. It's shrinking the government, giving more power to the private sector. Now, is that good or bad? You know, up for debate.
It definitely brings up some big questions, right? Like, what are the core things the government should be doing? What can we actually leave to businesses to handle?
Huge questions, right? Every society struggles with this. And there's no easy answer, but we got to talk about it, you know, have real conversations instead of just throwing out slogans like government bad or, you know, private sector always better.
Right, because there are tons of examples of both government successes and failures. just like in the private sector.
Totally. And I think that's what makes DOGE so interesting. It forces us to look at these questions again, you know, the role of government, who holds the power, all that.
Okay, so we've got Trumponomic warfare, shaking up global trade, this tense standoff with Ukraine, and DOGE aiming to reshape the whole structure of government.
It's a lot.
Now let's talk about something that almost feels, I don't know, surreal. RFK Jr. and this measles outbreak in Texas. It's pretty wild to see someone with his background on vaccines now leading the charge against a measles outbreak.
Yeah, it's definitely a head-scratcher. RFK Jr., I mean, he's been one of the loudest voices in the anti-vaccine movement for years. And now he's tweeting pro-vaccine messages, telling parents to vaccinate their kids. It's a huge shift.
So what gives? Is he, like, having a change of heart, or is this just him toeing the line now that he's part of the Trump administration?
Hard to know for sure. Some people think he's finally realized the dangers of, you know, all that anti-vaccine stuff. Others think it's pure politics. You know, he doesn't want to stir up trouble and risk his job.
It's almost like he's, like, stuck in some political performance art piece or something. And it raises some interesting questions about, like, the power dynamics within the administration.
Oh, totally.
If even RFK Jr. feels pressure to publicly support vaccines, I mean, what does that say about the, I don't know, the pressure to conform?
It suggests there's not a lot of room for disagreement within the Trump circle. Even someone with the Kennedy name, you know, the family legacy, they still feel the need to fall in line.
It's a reminder that even in a democracy, power can be concentrated in the hands of a few.
Ooh.
And those who speak out, they often face consequences.
For sure. And it's not just about vaccines either.
Oh, right. There was something else.
RFK Jr. is also doing this review of research grants at Columbia University, claiming they're not doing enough to fight anti-Semitism.
Okay.
Now, on the surface, you know, it sounds good.
Yeah.
But some folks are skeptical about his real motives.
Like, what are they saying his real agenda is?
Some think it's more about silencing people who disagree with Trump, you know, controlling what information gets out there. It's like punishing academics who've criticized Trump's policies.
So it's another case of using, like, a good cause to hide a more cynical agenda.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's an old tactic, you know. People in power have always used it to squash dissent and stay in control.
It's a reminder that we always got to be thinking critically, questioning the motives of those in charge, even when they say they're doing what's best for us.
Right. And speaking of questioning authority, let's go back to those town hall meetings that have been getting so much attention.
Oh, yeah. The ones where Republican lawmakers are getting grilled by their constituents.
Exactly. A lot of them are furious about DOGE, the cuts to veteran services, all that.
It seems like those meetings are becoming like a flashpoint for the growing anger at the administration.
Yeah, I think so.
What's driving all that frustration, though?
Well, it's a lot of things. People are worried about DOGE impacting their lives. You know, longer waits at the DMV, cuts to Social Security, maybe they can't visit national parks anymore. It's real stuff.
It's the actual consequences of these policies getting close to home.
Exactly. And then there's the feeling that the government just isn't listening. People feel ignored, dismissed by the folks they elected.
And Trump calling them paid troublemakers, that's not exactly helping, is it?
No, it's making things worse. It's dismissive, you know, and it reinforces that idea that the government's out of touch.
And these meetings are happening in super conservative districts, places where Trump won by a landslide. It's not like these are liberal strongholds.
Exactly. It tells you this goes deeper than party politics. This is about people from all walks of life feeling anxious, uncertain about what's next.
So that 51% approval rating for DOGE might be a lot less solid than the administration thinks.
I'd say so.
As more people actually experience the consequences of these cuts, that support could vanish.
I think you're right. And it's not just about DOGE either. People are starting to ask questions about how Trump's handling Ukraine, the tariffs, his whole approach to governing.
It's like a perfect storm brewing. And speaking of storms, what about those tariffs? Any signs of Trump backing down like he did before?
Not so far. In fact, he used his recent speech to Congress to, like, brag about the tariffs, doubled down on his America First trade policies. He even called the trade deficit, get this, a giant sucking sound, draining American wealth.
Wow, that's colorful language. But is it true, though? Are the tariffs actually helping the economy, or are they just hurting people and businesses?
It's complicated. There's no doubt they're having an impact. We're seeing higher prices on some things. Some businesses are struggling to keep up with the increased costs.
But Trump says they're necessary, right, to protect American jobs, level the playing field with countries like China, who he says are, you know, cheating.
That's his argument, yeah. But a lot of economists say the tariffs are actually hurting the economy more than they're helping.
Well.
They're saying it's like a tax on consumers who are now paying more for stuff from overseas.
Right.
And they say the tariffs are creating all this uncertainty, messing up global supply chains, which ends up hurting businesses in the long run.
So, no easy answers there. But one thing's for sure, the tariffs are having a big impact. And we don't really know if it'll be good or bad in the end. Okay, so lots of economic uncertainty. What about NATO? During his campaign, Trump talked about pulling us out of NATO. Did he say anything about that in his speech to Congress?
He didn't say he was pulling out, no.
Okay.
But he spent a good chunk of time criticizing our allies, saying they don't pay enough.
It's like he's fixated on the idea that other countries are taking advantage of us. But isn't that kind of, I don't know, oversimplifying things? The world's a complicated place. Alliances aren't just about who pays the most, it's about shared interests, working together.
You're absolutely right. It's not just about the money. NATO is about keeping everyone safe. And it's in our best interest to have strong allies in Europe and around the world.
So even though Trump didn't explicitly say he's leaving NATO, his constant criticism is causing tension, making people question if they can rely on us.
Definitely. And that's a risky game to play. A weaker NATO makes the world a more dangerous place for everyone.
Okay, so we've got economic worries, strained alliances, and this growing discontent at home. Now let's talk about something that's been simmering for a while now, the Russia investigation.
Ah, yes. The Russia investigation. It feels like it's been going on forever.
It does.
But there have been some interesting things lately, things that shed some light on how much Russia interfered in the 2024 election.
Like what kind of things are we talking about?
Well, the special counsel, Jack Smith, he's uncovered evidence of this huge Russian disinformation campaign, and it was specifically designed to help Trump win.
So what does this campaign involve? Was it just like spreading fake news on social media, or was it something more?
It was way more than just fake news. They created hundreds of fake accounts, used them to like stir up trouble and get people fighting. They even hacked into voter databases in a few states, tried to mess with voting machines.
Scary. It sounds like they were really trying to swing the election. But what about Trump? Has the investigation found any proof that his campaign worked with the Russians?
That's the big question, right? And it's what Smith's trying to figure out. There's no smoking gun yet, but they have found a lot of suspicious contacts between Trump's campaign and Russians connected to the Kremlin.
So no definite proof, but enough to be concerned about. What's Trump's take on all this? He's been pretty critical of the investigation, right?
Oh, yeah, he's called it a witch hunt, a hoax. Said Smith is biased against him. He's even threatened to fire Smith and shut the whole thing down.
That's pretty bold, even for Trump. But isn't that dangerous for a president to interfere in an investigation that's looking into his own campaign?
It's really dangerous. It makes people think he's obstructing justice, ignoring the rule of law, and it sets a bad example, for future presidents who might want to avoid scrutiny.
So this whole Russia thing is still hanging over Trump's presidency. It's causing a lot of anxiety for everyone.
Absolutely. And it reminds us that things are tense right now, globally. The threats to our democracy are real.
Before we move on, I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier about the Pentagon stopping cyber operations against Russia.
Oh, right.
Can you tell us more about that? What kind of operations are we talking about, and why did they stop?
So, the U.S. military has been doing all sorts of cyber stuff against Russia for years.
Okay.
Some of it's defensive, like protecting important systems from attacks. Some of it's more offensive, like disrupting their propaganda or hacking into their military networks.
That's intense. So why stop now?
They said it was to avoid making things worse with Russia. But some people think there's more to it, like maybe Trump told them to stop to, make Putin happy and try to smooth things over.
That would be a controversial move. Basically saying Russia can attack us online and we won't do anything back.
Yeah, it would be. And it makes you question what Trump's priorities really are. Is it national security or is it keeping Russia happy, even if it puts Americans at risk?
Those are big questions, and I don't think we have the answers yet.
Agreed. Cyber warfare is complicated, but it has real consequences. And we got to make sure our government's doing what it takes to protect us.
Okay, so we've covered a lot. Trumponomic warfare, Ukraine, DOGE, RFK Jr., Russia, even cyber warfare. It's a lot to take in.
It's been a busy few weeks, that's for sure, and it doesn't look like things are slowing down.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I think we need to ask, what does all this mean for the future of the U.S.?
That's the big one, isn't it? And I don't think anyone knows for sure. But based on what we've learned, there are some things we need to watch out for, some potential consequences down the line.
Okay, let's talk about those.
Yeah.
What are the biggest red flags you're seeing?
I think, one of the biggest things is this erosion of trust, both here in the U.S. and, like, globally.
Yeah.
All of Trump's actions, the tariffs, questioning NATO, demanding that apology from Zelensky, it all sends this message that, America might not be the reliable partner it used to be.
And that affects a lot more than just, like, the news headlines.
Right? Oh, absolutely. It affects everything. Trade deals, military alliances, even trying to tackle climate change. When America's leadership is shaky, other countries are going to step up, and that's not always good for us.
Right. And then there's the damage closer to home, this growing divide between people, all the misinformation out there. And it feels like folks just don't trust the government anymore.
Yeah. And all that's made worse by how Trump talks, constantly going after the media, the courts, anyone who disagrees with him. It makes it hard to even have a conversation, find some common ground.
So we're potentially looking at a weaker America on the world stage and a super divided society here at home. It's a lot to process.
It's heavy stuff for sure. But even in tough times, there's always hope. Americans are resilient, We've faced huge challenges before, and we've always found a way through.
That's true. It's right. Easy to focus on the negative, but we've seen that when people come together, we can do amazing things. But what can people actually do? It all feels so overwhelming.
Well, first, stay informed. But be careful about where you're getting your information. Don't just get stuck in those social media echo chambers. Find sources you can trust, fact-checked stuff.
That's so important. More than ever, we got to be critical thinkers.
Mm.
Double check anything we see or hear, especially online.
And don't forget, your voice matters. Call your representatives. Tell them what you think. Demand better. They work for us, right?
Exactly. They're accountable to us. And if they're not listening, well, there's always the power of the vote.
Absolutely. The ballot box, it's still the most powerful tool we have. It's how we shape the future of this country.
So even though the challenges are real, we're not helpless. Each of us has a role to play. We got to stay engaged, informed, and active in our democracy.
I like that. Engaged, informed, and active.
Well said. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive. It's been fascinating and a little unsettling, if I'm being honest.
For sure.
Before we go, I want to leave our listeners with something to think about. We talked about RFK Jr. and how even he, with his whole history of vaccine skepticism, is now out there supporting vaccines.
Yeah, it's strange.
Makes you wonder what's happening behind the scenes, right? If someone like RFK Jr. feels like he has to completely change his stance, what does that say about the pressure to conform, even within the administration? And what does it mean for, speaking out against the status quo in America? Those are questions worth thinking about as we, navigate these crazy times. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. And until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged.